I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it. All you need is a little bit of courage, even if you are shaking, even if you are scared to death, even if it takes your breath away. And you make that step, and on the other side is where you will build self-confidence. So keep that in your back pocket. You're listening to Makes Me Noise podcast, episode number 415. Welcome to Make Some Noise podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you are here. And today we have the last two stories. Remember many months ago, I think I asked if any of you had some stories where you made some noise in your life. And today we are hearing from Nancy and Gail. So just like the last couple, I am going to let you hear their story, and then afterwards I'm going to chime in with my thoughts and some key takeaways that I have from listening to their stories. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you that if you haven't already downloaded for free my motivational series that I made for you, you can do so at andreaowen.com/free. It is set to music. It is for anyone who is really struggling, all the way to anyone who is really feeling like the greatest of all time. It's for everyone. There's 3 different podcast episodes, and I created it as a gift to you so you can kind of have it in your back pocket whenever you might need it. And it's private, so you cannot get it from my site. You do have to go to andreaowen.com/free to get the special podcast link for that. Also, I think I told you last week or the week before that next year, we're going to be making some exciting changes to the podcast, and I'm going to reveal one of them to you. We did a survey, I don't know how long ago it was, and so many of you graciously gave me your time and let me know what you would like to see more of on the podcast. And one of those things, I didn't know how it would turn out, is that you said you would enjoy some mini-sodes slipped in addition to our Wednesday weekly podcast. So I'm going to start doing that every so often. I cannot promise every week, but every so often, starting next year, I'm going to do some mini-sodes, and they will drop somewhere in between the Wednesday episodes. Also, speaking of the podcast, if you didn't know, we have transcripts for each show. They don't go all the way back to the previous hundreds of episodes, but we did start doing it a couple of months ago. So all you need to do is go to the show notes in your podcast app and click the link that will take you to the webpage, and that will show you the show notes for the episode that you want to read them. All right, everyone. Enough about that. Let's get to our very first story. This first one is from Gail. I'm going to let her story speak for itself, and then I will see you on the other side of her story. All right. So without further ado, here is Gail.
Hey, Andrea, my name is Gail and I'm in the Chicago area. And I've just realized in the last several months that I actually do have a story. I started as a daughter of a coal miner in Illinois. We weren't poor. And, you know, sometimes when people think of that, they think of a poor, sheltered, uneducated, you know, type of family, but we just weren't very worldly. I did end up going to college, loved meeting everybody, loved growing, learning. I ended up in graduate school, and then I ended up in New York City to do my internship. During college, because I was so happy and excited, I gained a ton of weight, went through some really hard challenges, got myself fit, and that was kind of the catalyst for the career I chose, and I believe it helped me make me more compassionate for what I ended up doing, which is to be a private trainer. When I started, it wasn't a very popular, it was kind of an unknown field. Fitness was just getting going. I met some wonderful people in New York. I trained Mayor Koch. I trained designer Marc Jacobs. I trained some of Mick Jagger's backup dancers, Sam Champion, the Weathermans. Because I had such compassion and knowledge and good energy, I made quite an impact, even in New York City, as a little girl from a town of 600 and the daughter of a coal miner. I did end up, after 3 years, moving back to Chicago, where I took off again and built a wonderful career in business. I had a television show called Shape Up Chicago. I made videos on and on. It was a great time. Fast forward to age 35, getting married, moving to California, and realizing huge mistake, lots of depression, and it was a very abusive relationship psychologically. Fast forward 17 years, got a divorce, moved back to Chicago, and in the process of reinventing myself. 20 years of no working and away from Chicago, where I had built a good business. So I was 20 years away. I was 20 years older, found myself competing with, you know, the social media superstars. The way I did it was step by step, finding myself again after being totally lost and intimidated by being, quote unquote, just a mom for 20 years. I've built back a wonderful career. My kids are wonderful. I've grown a lot. I know that you know too that being in an unhealthy relationship affects everything, mind, body, spirit, career, everything. And I overcame it. I just thought I would pass this on. I don't know if any of this resonates with you, and I don't know if I'm explaining it very well. The fact is, I found myself again. I found that I do actually have worth and compassion and knowledge that I really thought that I had lost forever. Confidence, I had none. I had less than zero confidence. On your page, I can't wait to read your book. And thanks.
Thank you so much, Gail, for sharing that story. You know, it's so interesting. Like, she went over what I assume is decades of her life and fit in some life lessons that she learned along the way. And there's a couple of things that jump out for me that I wanted to highlight in Gail's story and how she was making noise in her life. First is that this is a story of resilience, really. You know, it's the falling down and the getting back up, the falling down and the getting back up. And truthfully, it starts when she leaves her comfort zone. She steps out of her comfort zone as a young woman, leaving, the life that she had and going to college and then going to grad school, moving to New York City. That's a big deal. And she massively steps out of her comfort zone, which takes courage. 100% that takes courage. And as I tell all of you over and over again, all you need is a little bit of courage, even if you are shaking, even if you are scared to death, even if it takes your breath away. And you make that step, and on the other side is where you will build self-confidence. So keep that in your back pocket, because I'm gonna go back and mention that again as I talk about Gail's story. So whether she knew it or not, as she moves to New York City, she goes to college, goes to grad school, and gains a bunch of weight, then gets fit. She is building confidence. She's building self-confidence along the way. Again, whether she knows it or not, probably wasn't like a conscious thought that she had, but she is building self-confidence. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. So then she talks about getting married and moving again and then realizing that that relationship was very unhealthy and has to get out of the relationship. Divorce is difficult. Breakups are difficult, no matter if you are the person that initiates that breakup or divorce or not. And it, again, when that happens, you're building resilience. And what I know for sure, these are the two topics that I keynote on. When somebody wants me to come and keynote, I give them the choice. Do you want me to talk about self-confidence or do you want me to talk about resilience? And it's not a coincidence that I chose those two topics. They're connected. They are 100% connected. And it kind of becomes a chicken or egg conversation. I'm not going to go off on that tangent right now. But when Gail's telling this story, I'm like watching the whole trajectory and the timeline. And I'm like, yep, self-confidence and resilience, self-confidence and resilience over and over again as these years go by. So she moves again, has to build her business again because she's been out of the workforce. And now she's facing a time in history where there are social media and there are fitness influencers. So she's got to learn that whole thing again. And she builds it back. She starts over when she could have decided, you know what, it's too hard. I am not going to do it. I'm going to go into a completely different career path and really wanted to go back into personal training, but didn't because she was afraid. No, she went anyway. And that, again, is building self-confidence and building resilience. And I think at the end of the day, one thing that I want to highlight so much is what she says towards the end. And she says that she remembers that she has self-worth. She remembers that she has the knowledge and expertise that comes with years and decades of being a woman, of being a fitness professional, that she remembers that. And that is the thing. Like, I want to underscore, I want to highlight, I want to put a bunch of stars and exclamation marks all around that. When I was taking notes on this, I wrote it in huge letters. And she says, I found myself again. I found myself again. And I do think that we get to a certain age, whether it's in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, beyond, where we realize, like, I have found myself again over and over. I personally don't think it's a one-time thing. I think that we come to these conclusions about our life, about ourself, about our worth, about our capabilities, about our self-confidence, about our resilience, over and over again as the years go by, as we enter and have to face difficult and shitty circumstances. That is when we find ourselves again. That is when we build that resilience and self-confidence. And she said, I thought I'd lost it forever. I thought I'd lost it forever. How many times, any of you listening, how many times have you thought that before? How many times you've been down on your luck, you've been down on your self-worth, and you forget who you are. You forget that you ever had any courage before. You forget that you had any self-confidence or resilience before. And we get so down on ourselves. And sure, that could be because it's depression or something like that. I think many of us have faced those times in our lives. But when we are pretty much of sound mind, that is something that can be helped through getting support from others, through self-care, through watching your self-talk, thinking about the media that you consume, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that you all are doing. I know that you're doing so many great things, because if you're listening to a podcast like mine, then you care about what's going on in your life in terms of what you're consuming. So again, thank you, Gail. I love that this highlights the ups and downs of life. And there will probably be more in Gail's life. There will be more in your life, listener. And I just want you to take that away, what she says at the end, that I remember that I have self-worth. I remember that I have knowledge and expertise. I found myself again, even though I thought I'd lost it forever. None of you have lost it forever. None of you. As we speak right now, you are building resilience. You are building self-confidence. And I hope that you can take that away today and have some motivation and inspiration from Gail's story, because I do believe that her story is similar to everyone else's. Different circumstances, but similar in that there are a lot of shit sandwiches that we will get handed throughout our life. And that is what builds our self-confidence and resilience. All right, let's move on to our next story. And this is actually our last story in the Make Some Noise series of listener stories. And this is Nancy. I'm going to let her story speak for itself. So without further ado, here is Nancy.
My name is Nancy. I live in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. How am I making noise? Basically by standing up to, you know, people who have been in my life for a very long time and, you know, telling them that the way they are acting, the way that, you know, their beliefs when it comes to my own beliefs, like, it's not okay. I'm setting boundaries, especially with my family. I'm letting them know that the way I have been treated my entire life and this narrative that we just keep our head down and don't say anything when it comes to, you know, older people in our family saying things, that narrative is not okay. That if someone says something that could put the people you love in danger, something needs to be said. And the reason I'm going on and on about it leads up to a story where we have a group chat for my entire family, so my aunts and uncles and cousins. And my one cousin posted a bunch of misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccination and then demanded that my grandmother not get her second dose. And no one said anything. And so I decided to challenge him, and I asked him if he did any research before posting this information. And, you know, he just went on and on. And I just kept challenging him and telling him that he was wrong, and that in doing so, in posting that information, he could be putting people's lives in danger. And then he eventually just left the family chat. And then what happened after was two things. I had family messaging me through the group chat telling me I was being a bully, telling me I was being aggressive, and I didn't back down. They said he only wrote this message because he cared. He only shared that info because he cared. And I, you know, I let them have it. I said he only shared it because he's an entitled white male who thinks he knows better than everyone, including the multiple health professionals in our family. And I didn't back down. I didn't apologize because I have nothing to apologize for. When you come after the people I love with misinformation like that, I'm going to let you have it. And another thing that was happening was that I was getting messages, private messages from family members who were supporting me and, you know, telling me that I was doing a good job. And while that was encouraging, it was also kind of showing me true colors and how, you know, people are encouraging you behind the scenes, but are still not being authentic and are still presenting that facade of they don't want to, you know, they don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to stir the pot. And, you know, that's kind of giving me a new perspective, and it's been really eye-opening, and it's giving me a lot to think about who I have in my life and who I want to include in my life and in the big moments of my life. And I'm getting married soon, and I don't want these people at my wedding. So that's another big challenge, but I'm very much looking forward to learning more about how to overcome that challenge and how to set stricter boundaries with those people who aren't serving me anymore. So yeah, that's how I'm making some noise. And thank you so much for everything that you've done. I've been listening to you and reading your books for a few years now, and I'm learning a lot. So thank you.
I wish that I would have had a camera on and you could see my face, my reaction. Two times, right in a row, when she said that her family told her that she was being a bully and aggressive. And then right after that, when she said, she replied and said, no, you know, he's being an entitled white male. My jaw hit the ground and I just was like, yes, Nancy. Yes. Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to start right from the get-go saying how difficult it can be to set boundaries with family. Boundaries are hard enough as they are, and we are going to go through life where we're going to have to set boundaries with some people. This is people at work. This might be with our neighbors. This might be with our anyone, really. But when we have to set boundaries with our family, that is PhD level work, and it is a skill that is learned. I would say 99% of us are not taught this growing up, or in school for that matter. There are so many great resources out there about how to set boundaries. I'm going to pop a link in the show notes. When I had my very best friend in the whole world, Amy Smith, I had her on and we talked about boundaries. I'm pretty sure I have that episode. If I don't, I will link to her podcast where she goes through step by step on how to do this, because it's a whole conversation in and of itself. But I will say this. Do not go into these conversations cold, unprepared. This is one of those things where I highly encourage you to map it out exactly what you're going to say and have the success of the conversation be determined by how you show up in that conversation, not by what the outcome is. That's it. That's all you have control over. that's all that's going to matter truly at the end of the day, at the end of your life, is how you showed up. I want you to be proud of how you entered and exited that conversation.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
All right, Nancy. Oh my gosh. And not to mention the conversation around masks and vaccinations and the COVID pandemic is an intense and emotional one. And people tend to be on one side or the other. We don't have a lot of people who are like, oh, well, maybe, you know, like there are some of those people, but for the most part, people have an opinion. People have a strong opinion. Therefore, it becomes charged. I have been interviewed on the news lately because of the book promotion. And one of the conversations that's getting picked up as we pitch is news stations want to talk to me about how do we have this conversation around masks and vaccines. I actually am about to send out an email planning it all out. If you don't get my emails, you can get them, AndreaOwen.com/free and sign up. But it's tricky. It's super tricky. And I also think it's a universal problem that people want a solution to. So I want to say that in and of itself. That is an intense conversation, and Nancy chose to make some noise about it, and she did not back down. That's what she says in the voicemail is, I didn't back down. And I wonder if we can all relate to that moment when there's a conversation happening, whether it's a one-on-one conversation or an email conversation or a group chat like she was in, where something happens, somebody says something, and you staunchly disagree, and you have the option to say something or not say anything. Now, I do not recommend that you must say something every single time. This is what I talk about in the email and when I'm on the news. First, you have to determine, like, how invested are you in this relationship? Like, how invested are you in this topic? Does it really matter to you? Because sometimes it doesn't. If these are strangers on the internet and like a friend of a friend posted something like misinformation about COVID, are you invested in that relationship? Like, what are the chances of you changing that person's mind? Not great. So if it's in a matter of self-care, not all conversations are worth having. It's not always worth it to make noise in every situation. But for this particular situation, it absolutely was worth it. This was Nancy's grandma, an elderly woman whom she loved, whom through looking at all the data and the research understands that it was in her grandmother's best interest to get the COVID vaccine, or I should say finish getting the COVID vaccine, get her second dose. So it was important to her. And so that moment of deciding whether or not you're going to say anything can be the most critical place, because we get nervous and our heart rate might go up. We might, the thoughts start to go really fast. Like, you know, you're angry and you want to just like knee jerk reaction and start typing, or maybe you just want to run away from the conversation, whatever your go-to is. You have a choice. And I do recommend that you take a deep breath and think about, how do I want to show up in this conversation? Do I want to be courageous? Do I want to be kind? Do I want to be respectful? How do I want to be? You have no control over how they perceive you. You could be the most respectful, professional person, and somebody on the other end of that conversation might get their feelings hurt, might think that you're being a bully, might think that you're being aggressive, that you're an asshole, whatever. You have no control over that. I'm going to keep hammering that home. But I also just want to applaud Nancy for doing this in a family situation, because when it comes to family situations, many times we don't say anything because we have to be around these people, family functions, or sometimes we live with them. And many times it just feels so much easier to not say anything. Don't want to make things uncomfortable. I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want to be seen as the black sheep of the family, or whatever it is that you think about. And I just want to mention, like, that is a very real feeling to have, to want to just stay a part of the status quo and just have things go the way they've always gone. That's the way most people want things to stay, right? But I think that as someone, raising my hand over here, who has spoken up about certain things, it is probably the most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in my life. And people will be angry. People have been angry at me and my family members. And what I have to keep reminding myself is that I am breaking family patterns that don't serve us. They don't serve us. They're shitty. They're shitty patterns that we've all fallen into, because that's what families do. And I personally, and I can only speak for myself here, I am pointing them out and saying, hey, this is what we do. I'm not saying this is what you do. This is what we do as a family. I'm kind of going off track here from Nancy's story. But this is what we do as a family. And it's not okay. It's not. It makes me show up in a way that I don't like. I don't like this version of Andrea when we all act like this, when we all fall into our quote unquote family roles. I think it happens a lot in families. Like, you know, when you get back together for the holidays and things like that, we all fall back into the role that we sort of assimilated in when we were growing up. And I'm over here like, I don't like this version of us anymore. So I'm not going to do this anymore. And here's where I think that you could be better. That conversation typically never goes well. You know, I'm over here saying, like, here's where I commit to do better. Here's where I commit to no longer do these particular things that are patterns that we've always done that I don't like. I don't want my children to adopt these. I don't want my family, my husband and my kids, to fall into these patterns. I will not do them anymore. And there have been family members that don't like that. It's a very, very difficult conversation. I will tell you this too. I don't go into those conversations without crying. It's just, it's emotional. It's super emotional. Decades of history. And it can be really complicated. And I tell you that story because, you know, many times, like this story that Nancy told is bigger than just the one-time conversation that she told us about. There's other stuff mixed into that. And I find it very interesting. I'm not surprised, but I find it interesting that she had other family members private messaging her, telling her thank you for speaking up, but they didn't say anything. So my advice is, Nancy, if you're listening, if you haven't done this already, and for anyone who encounters a similar circumstance, my advice is to say thank you. I really appreciate your support. And what I would love is public support, is for you to chime in and say, I agree with Nancy. I'm with Nancy on this one. Something simple like that. And then throw it out there to them. Do you think you could do that? Because it's a big ask to ask someone to, you know, do really anything more than that. Or you could ask them to engage in a conversation with you and say, like, can I ask why you didn't chime in? You probably already know the answer. Depends on your family, but you're probably going to be able to guess what their answer is. But I feel like if you keep it simple and say, could you do this? And specifically ask them, like, will you do it? It's an invitation. And also you're asking them just to take a small step. That's it. That's all. No big deal. Not a big deal at all. Breaking family patterns and setting boundaries. Again, I just, you know, as we're going into the holidays, oh, I'm also sending out an email about that too. Actually, sorry, I think it already came out. So sorry if you missed it. If you're not on my email list, how to take care of yourself during the holidays. And I am thinking of you all. Thank you so much for those of you who called in to tell us your story. Speaking of, I'm also going to implement next year as we make some tweaks to the podcast, some listener voicemails. So we're going to bring back the option to leave us a message, and I'm going to be answering questions over there so you can possibly hear your voice on the podcast. Thank you again to Gail and Nancy for bringing us your story. And remember, everyone, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.